What did they have to say about how big this victory?
I think they're taking their cues from their coach, Amy, Sean McDermott, who approaches every game the same, every week, very consistently, and it's the next game. And you'll hear Josh Allen talk about that a lot. He said that many times after this game. It's just the next game. It's, you know, it's week 11. And, you know, for the Bills, they do have a bye week coming up next week. They have a late bye week. And I think this comes at the great time where they can kind of, you know, get over the emotional high to get reset a little bit. And then, as several players said, basically get ready for another run, meaning, hey, we've had this run here of 11 games, take a little break. Now we get another run and we head into the playoffs. But Von Miller, he said, hey, look, I know coach said that. This was a big game. This is why you play to play games like this. So it's not lost on anybody how big of a win this was for the Bills. But we all know that these two teams will most likely play again in 2 months.
Well, not to mention, this team is on the type of hot streak and has the type of record that we haven't seen since the Bills last made the Super Bowl.
Yeah, listen, they are 9-2 for the first time since 1992. I mean, that's 32 years ago, right? It's unbelievable to think about. Especially, I mean, what's incredible to me is I would go on radio shows like yours or others around the country in August. People would ask me about the Bills, and they'd eventually say, is this a step back year, Sal? Because look at all these changes. And there's no more Stephon Diggs or Gabe Davis or Mitch Morse or Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer. And they kind of ripped off the Band-Aid, and they're, you know, making sure they get a little younger and have some salary cap issues. And I'd always say, as long as you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. And as long as you have Sean McDermott coaching your defense, you have a chance. Well, guess what? Those two things coming together, McDermott's defense is playing as well as it has, you know, over the last several years, and it's always very good. And Josh Allen could be the MVP of the league. So it's amazing to me that while people thought this could be literally a step back year for the Bills, it's actually the best season they've had in 32 years.
I was actually going to ask you later in our conversation about why it's coming together so quickly. But since you brought it up, why is it coming together much more easily than many people expected?
Here's why, Amy, because the Bills have something that very few organizations have. The Chiefs have it. The Ravens have it. A couple others do. But so many organizations covet, and that is a ownership, a GM, and a head coach that are together, aligned, have the same philosophy and continuity between all of them. And what's happened here is Brandon Bean has had the opportunity, and I'll even say luxury, I guess, in some respect, over the last few years to not only draft and grab players for the present to win, but also the future and say, look, we don't have to have this guy play right now, but we can put him in our system. He'll develop. And look what's happening. They're banged up, but guys are stepping up all over the place. These aren't guys who are just walking in off the street. These are guys that the Bills have been developing that you didn't know about them on the practice squad, and nobody ever heard of their names. Guys like Jamarcus Ingram, who comes in and makes and plays fantastic a while back. Ryan Vandermark, who had to start at right tackle today. Ryan Vandermark had 74 snaps accounted in his entire NFL career. But yet he's been in the Bills organization for 3 years. Mm. These are guys they're developing. It's not actually so quickly. This group has still been together, but they haven't had the opportunity necessary to play these guys. And I think it's something that organizations covet, and the Buffalo Bills have it right now. Plus, let's be honest, they have Josh Allen, and that's a big reason why. When Josh Allen plays the way Josh Allen did today, you can beat any team.
We're always excited to have Sal Capaccio with us on After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Off the Bills sideline today for a raucous atmosphere between Buffalo and Kansas City, one of the great AFC rivalries and certainly a terrific battle on Sunday. What was your perspective, Sal? 4th and 2 gets snapped for the Bills late in the game, and Josh Allen breaks ankles and coverage and ends up in the end zone for a 26-yard run.
Well, first of all, what are they going to do situation, right? Nobody kind of knew. Is he going to keep the offense in the field? Is he going to kick a field goal? Anybody who says that Sean McDermott's his conservative coach because he's from the defensive side of the ball hasn't been paying attention. He has not been that conservative over the last several years. Now, I would say that in some moments he can be conservative and too conservative, but all coaches have those moments. Sean McDermott's actually been pretty aggressive throughout the last several years, and especially in games like this against teams with high-powered offenses where he knows that he's going to have to, you know, make one more play. And when they kept the offense on the field, I applauded it because they could have kicked what we call the field goal of death, which is the field goal of death is, okay, you kick a field goal, you go up 5, what did it really matter? Because all it takes is Patrick Mahomes to go down and score 7, you still lose anyway. So he said, I'm going to let one of the best players in the league and our best player put the ball in his hands. Amy, you won't find many people who love their job more than me. I love being on the Buffalo Bills sidelines and being a part of the energy on the field as the broadcaster, and it's unbelievable. But I will tell you, This is my 11th year on the sidelines. There are very, very special moments that happen sometimes when it just becomes unbelievable to be a part of. That run was one of those moments I've been a part of. It was incredible. As he's running, and you kind of knew he was going to get to the end zone, the crescendo of the crowd in that stadium, I'm getting chills just talking to you about it. Like, you're talking to a kid here who grew up in Buffalo going to these games in this stadium, and now I'm on the field on the sidelines broadcasting these games. I know what it's like for those fans to be up and watch that. And I get to experience it. And today was one of those really special moments when that happened.
There are obviously some other really impressive moments for Josh Allen, finding Curtis Samuel for the touchdown. We also saw him extend plays. Just the way that they were able to move the ball. I know they had a few punts in there, especially in that third quarter where they started out with four straight punts between the two of them.
Yeah.
But they still had great success against a defense with the Chiefs that's championship caliber. Why did it work so well today?
Well, they converted third downs today. They were 9 of 15, 60%. That was a really big deal. And it wasn't like they were in really easy third down situations either. There were a few that were very tough, long yardage situations. But the Bills did a really nice job on third down. And obviously that was Josh Allen using his legs and some really clutch catches. Curtis Samuel made a couple, as you alluded to. Khalil Shakir, as he always does, made a couple. But that was a big reason why. The Bills did not run the ball very well in this game. And, you know, the Chiefs are tough to run against. They're the number two, you know, run-per-play defense in the NFL. Outside of Josh Allen, the Bills ran for less than 3 yards a carry. So it was a grind. They were in a lot of third and sevens and third and eights, but they kept doing it. And then because, like you said, they had to punt a few times. First of all, give credit to Sam Martin, the Bills punter. He punted three times today. And out of those three punts, the drive starts for the Chiefs were their own 8, their own 14, and their own 20. So the Bills played a field position game. And the Chiefs, as we know, aren't the same team as in years past where they're not getting these explosives. So they made the Chiefs grind for everything they had, and the Bills are a good enough defense where if you're going to have to grind and grind, eventually we'll be able to stop you, and they played that game too.
What stands out about the Bills' defensive performance, considering the game was still hanging in the balance there late, but they were able to turn Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs over?
The pressure that they applied, they did a really nice job. Bobby Babich in his first year as a defensive coordinator, he's done a really great job this year, but he called a great game today. And, you know, yes, it is Sean McDermott's, you know, defense, his philosophy that Bobby works under because he's been with Sean since he got here to Buffalo. Bobby did a great job of dialing up certain pressures and making sure that they moved Mahomes off his spot. The Bills had 7 quarterback hits to go along with 2 interceptions. They sacked him a couple of times. When they played in the playoffs last year, Terrell Bernard didn't play in that game. Terrell Bernard's one of the best middle linebackers in the league. He didn't play. He was hurt. The Bills grabbed AJ Klein literally off a plane that was, he was going on vacation, retired, to come out and play that game. That was a big difference today to have Terrell Bernard healthy. The next time these two teams play, if they do, and we're all anticipating they're going to meet up in the playoffs, the Chiefs will probably have Isaiah Pacheco back and the Bills are going to have Matt Milano back. I mean, they're still going to be different than they were today.
Sal Capaccio is with us fresh off what was the game of the week between the Bills and the Chiefs. And the last 4 had been decided by a single score. So this one, 9 points. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. When you see the Chiefs, the offense, according to Patrick Mahomes, hasn't played its best football yet. But what did you see with the Chiefs? A team that never blows opponents out. They were undefeated until this day, but they never blow teams out, Sal.
Right. And going into this game, you know, you knew that. You knew that this was going to be a close game, 1-score game, most likely. I know it turned out to be 2 because the Chiefs are the kind of team that plays close games now. The reason is they don't really have explosive capabilities right now. And they do have it sometimes when you get, like, Xavier Worthy today had a ball that he beat the Bills down the field. The Bills had a blown coverage, but he didn't keep both feet in bounds. It was a big play, so it didn't count for them. They have the ability to have it once in a while, but they're just not the same offense without Rashee Rice, Isaiah Pacheco, and those guys. And getting those explosive plays. But what they do, Amy, they just grind it out and they play every play. And they make adjustments in games so well. And that's what they did in this game. The Bills took a 9-point lead and the Chiefs went right down and scored. Then the Bills had to go back down and take another 9-point lead. But they have a fantastic defense and they're just so well coached. This game was so fun for me because the two guys they're coaching are so good at what they do and in-game adjustments and their staffs are so good. And the coordinators on both sides. It was awesome. This was the way football is supposed to be. You know what I mean?
I do. Yes, it was one of those games that required grit, toughness, savvy, smarts, obviously the strategy, yep, and the ability to execute. But two of the best coaches in the NFL. And Sal, this was a debate that we've had on my show a few times going back to the end of last season. Had the Bills not made the playoffs the way that they did, the run that they had at the end of last year, where they ripped off five in a row and grabbed the AFC East title, people thought that Sean McDermott was on the hot seat. Safe to say that's not the case anymore, but do you ascribe to that theory?
No, not at all. And I'll tell you why. It goes back to what I said a little bit earlier, and I've had people ask me that as well. If you're on the outside looking in, like, and you see, okay, well, they had this dip in play, or they didn't make it to their standard, they haven't made it to a Super Bowl. The Buffalo Bills are the second winningest organization in the NFL over the last 5 years. The only team that has more wins is the Kansas City Chiefs, and they have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. The Buffalo Bills have won four straight division titles. Now, yes, last year they had to get to the end of the year and squeak it out. And the reason why I say that I've never, ever subscribed to any sort of theory that Sean McDermott was or would be on the hot seat is because they have ownership, GM, and head coach aligned, same philosophy. And you have to remember, here in Buffalo, 17 years of a revolving door of all those types of people not making the playoffs. Nobody wants to go back to that. Terry Pegula and Kim Pegula, they love what they have here in Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott together. Can anything happen? Sure. I mean, it's sports, right? It's results-oriented business. You never know when relationships sour after a while. But right now, they have what most organizations covet, and Terry Pegula has no appetite to change that.
You mentioned the bye, which is critical, considering the schedule coming out of the bye is a bit of a buzzsaw. The Niners and then the Rams in L.A. follow that game up with a battle on the road in Detroit. Wowzers, what's your reaction to those three on the schedule?
Going into the season, and then especially, you know, looking before this game and looking at those teams going, oh, man, they have a real gauntlet. And they do. I'm not saying they don't, but I will say is, the Rams don't look quite as terrifying as maybe we thought when before the season, and they got hurt. And then even, you know, last week, they've been a little bit uneven. I mean, the Niners lost at home to the Seattle Seahawks today. The Bills took care of the Seahawks pretty easily. So I'm not sure what to think about those teams. By the way, obviously the Bills get a bye week, so they'll go into that game against the Niners. Probably Matt Milano will be back by then. His 21-day window is open. I think he'll be healthy. He'll be playing. The Bills are going to start getting healthy. Keon Coleman will be back. And the Niners have to fly across the country to play here on a Sunday night in front of a raucous crowd. So I think that's a game that they can win. Detroit's going to be tough. Detroit's going to have 10 days to get ready for that game, Amy. They play Thanksgiving and the following Thursday before playing the Bills the following Sunday. I think that's going to be a really tough game on their schedule. And then look how the schedule ends, though. Two against the Patriots with rookie Drake May, and one against the New York Jets, who knows, maybe Aaron Rodgers already decided to call it quits by then.
The Bills very much in play for a top seed. As you look around at the rest of the conference, we've talked about the Chiefs. Who else has impressed you?
Baltimore did, for sure, and they still do. I think Baltimore's a really good team, no doubt about that. The thing about Baltimore is sports and football is about matchups. Just a tough matchup for the Bills. To me, they match up better with Kansas City than they do against Baltimore, because the Ravens are such a great running team and running downhill with Derrick Henry. The Bills are not structured to stop that. The Bills are built to stop passing teams. They're built athletically, a little bit smaller on defense, speed, athleticism on defense. And the Ravens, they bring something of a different element. Obviously, I'm super impressed with Pittsburgh and what they're doing. I still wonder, though. They won today without scoring a touchdown, right? You get into a game, if you have Josh Allen and the Bills, if you get a couple of scores, I wonder if the Steelers have the type of offense, you know, to keep pace with something like that. And I think I'm just impressed with a couple of teams lately that have been playing really well, including the team we saw tonight, the Chargers, with their defense, obviously, yes, against the Cincinnati Bengals and what they're doing right there. I know they blew the lead, but how about what Denver's doing and Bo Nix? I mean, they had a really nice game. And I mean, all these teams are going to be really tough outs if they get into the playoffs.
Well, if you are looking for a cool video from the field level and the Bills celebration, at Sal Sports, and he's the sideline reporter for the Bills Mafia and Bills Radio Network, and what a scene it was. I know there's a new stadium that's about to open up, and yeah, I'm sure it's terrific. But thinking about how many phenomenal moments and just the wild roller coaster ride of Bills history the stadium has seen, and how different it will be in the new home.
Yeah, I get that for sure, and no doubt about it. And I think that next year we'll all be, you know, here at the flagship WGR Sports Radio 550, and, you know, the Bills themselves. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of, you know, oral histories done and things like that of all the great moments in that stadium, you know, through the 50-plus years. the new stadium is really designed to be for Buffalo and for the fan. This is not some stadium, let's put all the bells and whistles into it so that, you know, we can just make all the money. That's not what they did here. They actually made the stadium, believe it or not, all the fans will be closer to the action than they are now. The upper deck will be 60 feet closer to the field than what it is now. It's going to be pitched like you're looking straight down. You're going to have that canopy over 65% of the fans, 64%, I think. It's going to encapsulate all that noise. So I'm telling you, the new stadium, it's going to be just as loud and difficult for a visiting team to come in, and it's going to be super nice and awesome. So we're all going to love it. I agree with you there. That video that I put out, I will tell you, what I do is Bills Mafia travels like nobody else, right? We know that. And after Bills road games, I always shoot that same video when they win and the fans come down. And it's amazing how many Bills fans are at these road stadiums. Like, you watch if it happens again in LA, you'll look out for it. And they're going to, Bills fans will take over that, just take over SoFi. They just will. We already know that. I wanted to give everybody a little bit of a feel of what it's like even at a home game because, you know, while we appreciate everybody going on the road, man, being at home in that stadium tonight and this afternoon was unbelievable.
Awesome. Yeah, make sure you check it out. And Sal, I know it's been a really long day for you. Always good to have you on the show. I can't imagine it's the last time this season, so thank you for a few minutes.
No, you got it. Anytime for you. And I know you had my buddy TJ Reeves from Tampa on a few weeks ago because he called me. And, you know, all of us sideline reporters, we love being here for you late at night.